And we are back again with Learn to Unlearn. This is Luca Amino. How's everybody doing? Gonna let the song play a little bit more before we shut it off. I'm kind of proud of that hook. In musicians' terms, it's called a hook. Yes, it is. It's a musical line that keeps repeating itself. Have a listen again. No, this isn't a musical segment, but this is Luca Amino wishing everybody all the love in the world. And we are back for another episode. And this is exactly what it is. It's learning to unlearn. I couldn't have said it better for the show myself today. And we have to start the timer. Yes. And got you loud and clear. Good. Everything is good. Everybody, hello in the chat. And to everybody who's listening on the job and who can't have their hands free. Thank you, Annie, for having me again on the show. It's an honor to be here with our super producer. Well, I was going to say Stan the Man. Why am I thinking Stan the Man? Ooh, I got to have to remember that one. This is Steve, our producer, and one of the best. How are you doing today?
Stan the Man. Are you thinking about the Louisville, the St. Louis Cardinals or something? Or
I don't know. It just Stan the Man just came to me. I don't know why. I don't even like sports. It's just because I'm trying to find a hook for you, like Stan the Man, or there's something like Steve.
I see.
Something. I'll find it. So you're doing good today?
Yeah, not too bad today, yep.
And we got to hand it to him because he's playing better and better at pool, so I hear. And I got that shark from last week, the pool shark that I sent to him. And I kind of gave up. I tried to learn pool at one time, but it didn't work. We're going to take you to the Kalahari Desert today. We're going to talk about Gary Sinise and his foundation very quickly. I want to address America, the disposable people, and fly by Israel, and then talk about the Time Magazine edition of 1938 and why it is forbidden. Interesting stuff today. And I wasn't really sure how to start. You know, there's Luca again. You know, he's so relaxed on the shows now. He doesn't know how to start his show and what he's going to start with. So while I was waiting for the mailman, I had a hook that came to me, kind of like a little phrase. And it said, to be able to change your mind, to unlearn and then to relearn again, okay? Not to be converted or forced into anything. No. You want to do it yourself. And last week, didn't I talk about that woman from Israel who grew up in a Zionist Jewish family that really believed that, you know, Israel was for the chosen people and whatever, right? And she was able to educate herself differently, find out that Israel is the terrorist state, and be able to relearn and to, you know, build her what? Her personality or her life accordingly, right? So this is kind of what I'm doing. And the more I see about my country where I'm living today, the uglier it gets, okay? And I think everybody knows it, or most people that do the research know it. You know, and didn't they have to put that in a movie too, you know, in JFK, that one line, God, I'm ashamed to be an American today. Well, I'm echoing that sentiment in this show today. Whether people are going to get upset or not, that's irrelevant. You know, Luca, listen to Thomas Paine. If you're afraid of afraid of offending, you'll never be able to be honest. You're not an honest person if you're afraid of offending, period. Okay? And Steve, I'd like you to jump in whenever you see fit because, you know, this is stuff we have to look at. We can't talk about certain truths and not talk about other ones, Okay. And this is why I love this show. And this is why I love to be on this network, because this network allows me to, what I'm actually doing is building exactly that. What I just said earlier, I'm building my own personality through my own shows. And one person who will listen to the first show that I did and then turn around and listen to the last one that I just did, or maybe even this one. Wow. You know, Luca, you've changed, you know, well, we're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to. So if anyone can do that, I mean, I came from a Jewish family. I came from a Zionist family. I can say it. And I learned the truth. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to shut up about what I am finding out. And you know what? There's a reason why I'm finding out what I'm finding out. There's a very good reason for it. And when you get to that part of your life where you don't want to convert, you don't want to convert to, you know, sing to the choir or whatever it's called, preach to the choir. You don't care anymore. It's like, no, I don't care. This is for me. I'll talk about it if you want. This is for me. This is what I believe, and this is what I'm keeping. This is what's for me. And from what Russell Means said about the American flag to all the lies that we can think about, which is basically what these shows are about that I'm doing, learn to unlearn. Well, why do we have to unlearn? Well, because we've been lied to since we've been born, Luca. Russell Means actually said that the blue in the – did he start with the red? You know, he started with the blue. The blue represented the coldness of their hearts. The white represented the racist attitude and the genocidal attitude that they had and about their self-righteousness as a race. That's what the white was for. And the red was the blood that they spilled on this continent, stealing it. And you'll notice that what America has, it has stolen, okay? In every, what? I guess we can't say every yet, but almost every country on earth. I think that's fair enough. We've seen how many countries we have destabilized, or we have assassinated their leader, or we have organized for, you know, voting, you know, assassinations, coup d'etats, rigging elections. We know the drill, right? We don't talk about it that often. Well, today's a very good opportunity to talk about exactly that, because it's very ugly, and the uglier it gets, the more truth comes out. So this is what I'm finding out, and it's really getting ugly for me because I'm really, well, because I'm not holding back anymore and because things have to be said. Well, there's Luca. You know, it's probably because I'm learning about it now that it's happening, because if I would have learned about it before, it wouldn't have been able to come out and it wouldn't have made that much sense. So now you can turn around on the air and say that we as Americans are the terrorists. We as Americans are the murderers worldwide. We are the usurpers, and we are also the destroyers of worlds. Well, the West, right? And my clip on Israel will prove that today. You'll hear somebody living in Israel who says that. It's really amazing. But I would like to start with the Kalahari Desert for a very specific reason. No, actually, I'm going to start with a prayer for everyone. Yes. Why don't we start with a prayer? Because we like doing that. We like starting with a universal something or other that we can put our footprint down in, right? I wrote this the other day, and I find it really heartwarming for me, because, you know, when you write something that kind of mirrors your soul and you have people that care enough about it to listen, it's nice to say it. So this is from me to you. This is how it goes. If you don't know how sacred you are, then you don't care about losing your humanity. Once you realize the magic of life and the efforts that our enemies have undertaken to destroy it, the realization then hits home, just like a freight train. Life is like love. It needs protection. And if we don't care, it will simply die. We will simply die. You know how they say, when you don't, love is like a flower, right? If you give it too much water, it dies. If you don't give it enough, it dies. We know what to do to make everything be okay. It's our choice individually. That's how cool this is. So everybody thinking kind of the same way, if you can say, it makes all the sense in the world. My friend Lee Black and her husband David from Facebook came out with absolutely, you know, it's like the most magical thing that I've ever heard regarding spirituality. Just like today with my segment on the Time Magazine of 1938 is going to be a revelation for me as well, okay? The Kalahari Desert is a large semi-arid sandy savanna, that's a tongue twister, in southern Africa, extending for some 900,000 square kilometers. That's about 300,000 miles. Square miles, covering much of Botswana. In the book, The Lost World of the Kalahari, it's a true story. Lawrence van der Post, sounds awful Dutch, he writes about living among the Bushmen of the Kalahari Desert and describes how shocked they were when they found out he couldn't hear the stars. At first, they thought he might be joking or lying. But when they realized he really could not hear the stars, they concluded he must be very ill and expressed great sorrow. For the Bushmen knew that, you know, anyone who can't hear nature must have the gravest sickness of all. For nearly all of the time, is according to them, that they've been on this planet, regular conversation across the species border and even it was a natural occurrence of everyday life. So this is a really strange invitation for us, you know, in the world today. Can you imagine listening to the stars? There's nothing to hear, Luca. They're too far away. You know, most people can't even start a conversation. They have difficulty initiating such conversations among themselves. Imagine, right? Perhaps this is because we've been taught from a very young age to perceive nature as separate, a lifeless object, a commodity. This mistaken perception seems to be at the foundation of our cultural ills. Whoa. Thank you. I was so happy when I read that the first time. Thank you. You know, humanity's ability to perceive this, the sentience of Earth, is critical to our survival and to all life on Earth. Longing to be in conversation with nature can catalyze us. And perhaps the natural world longs for this relationship as much as we do. With us? You ever think of that? Wow. See? So there's all kinds of beautiful stuff like that that we can grab onto. When we're ready, you know, or when we ask the question, this is something else that's really cool. Only when we're ready. See? So I started the show talking about the ugliness of government and the ugliness of the deep state or whoever's running it, right? See? And now we're on the other side of the scale, talking about the Kalahari Desert and the Bushmen that just can't fathom the fact that we can't hear the stars. So normal living, quote unquote, has got to be somewhere in the middle, right? See, so I'm getting in trouble now on Facebook because there's a story about this movie called Killers of the Flower Moon. Yep, it's Scorsese, Martin Scorsese, right? Well, do me a favor. If anybody ever sees this, listening to this about Killers of the Flower Moon, remember what I'm going to tell you, because this is apparently a really hit, a hit of a movie. And there's kind of an important piece of information that I like to throw around because I really believe it and it resonates with me. I'm not saying it's true or not. Run with it if you feel it is. But okay, so somebody by the name of Linda Hogan wrote a stunning book called Mean Spirit. And apparently it's as impressive as everything else she writes. And Mean Spirit was up for a Pulitzer Prize, nominated in 1991. So all of a sudden, a non-native person writes about the topic in 2017, and most people do know that, okay? He did read Linda's book. We're pretty sure he did. And it seems like it's a ripoff of her book. But since he is non-native and he works for the New Yorker, right? Martin Scorsese eats it all up, apparently. It's very sad. I'm saying it the way I'm seeing it. You know, I haven't read either one of the books, and I haven't seen the movie either. But you just look at that and you go, yeah, remember what I told you about Sachin Littlefeather? Uh-huh. Okay. It's always the same thing. Linda Hogan's book is up for a Pulitzer Prize in 1991. All of a sudden, the book very similar to that comes out in 2017. They make a movie out of it. And I'm seeing more and more of that all the time. And I wanted to say it because I find it really essential to what we're, you know, what we're dealing with. So I'm kind of at the point where I would like to switch gears. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play my favorite music that I played. I haven't played it for a while because when you shift gears, you hear something like this. And I'm going to go from one gear to the other with the song Goa from the Bourne Conspiracies. And we're going to talk about America, especially America and Israel. Okay. Well, I've been tearing Israel apart recently for what we've seen and what I've shared about Palestine and what's going on. I don't hear very many people talking about Oded Yenon, or Oded Yenon, I should say, which is the Greater Israel Project, which is what they wanted to do, which is, this is exactly what they have to do, you know, and Iran is last on the list. Okay. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound like the seven countries in 5 years, right? And to finish off Iran, okay. Netanyahu has wanted Oded Yenon for, I don't know, this has been what, since 82, 1982 or before that, and for information on that and for all kinds of other goodies on 9/11 as well. If you don't believe really what's going on about 9/11, you can go to bollin.com, bollyn.com. And that's where I was lucky enough to get him on Learn to Unlearn at one point. Maybe we'll even play parts of that show if we talk about 9/11 again. But he explained, because he lived in Israel, because he knows the routine, because he knows that Israel is the terrorist state. They need a state like that in order to initiate everything. It's sitting right in the Middle East. You'd think it would get along with its neighbors, right? But it never does. I played a really strong clip of this gentleman, and I still don't even know his name. But he talked about Israel and what the calamity of Israel and what it's doing. And, I kind of, you know, got what I could out of it. And then I did, you know, other stuff. And, that, you know, like it, if it's important to you and if it rings a bell and if it resonates, it'll come back, right? So this kind of did a real big circle and came right back. The same guy, I had it right on my lap this week. What does he say about America? Well, doesn't he hit both in the same, like two birds with one stone? He says, well, if you're standing for Israel today, you know what? I'll let him say it himself under 3 minutes. And if you listen carefully, you'll catch all of it. I call this clip the same people, okay?
And everyone today who is rallying behind Israel is going to lose. I mean, obviously they're going to lose. Because rallying behind Israel just shows that you are still stuck in this old colonialist, imperialist, racist, Western supremacist mentality that the entire Global South rejects. And frankly, not just the Global South. I mean, there are huge numbers of people in the West itself who reject this. The majority of people on Earth reject this. So you see, you're showing the whole Global South, you're showing the whole world that you can't change, that you're the same as you ever were. I think the West, and America in particular, needs to understand that the whole world is seeing you for what you are. Your stance on Palestine makes it starkly obvious to everyone that you are not actually mature or developed enough to deserve a leadership role in world affairs, and certainly not in the affairs of the Global South, certainly not in all of the countries that have been your victims all these years. I mean, there's no repentance on your part. There's no contrition. There's no moral improvement or change in you. You are exactly the same people who wiped out the Native Americans. You're the same people who regarded Africans as subhumans. You're the same people who murdered hundreds of thousands of Japanese civilians in a matter of seconds at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You're the same people who dropped napalm on civilian villages in Vietnam. I mean, on and on. Nothing changes. And nothing exposes this today more than your stance on Palestine. Nothing demonstrates that you have not changed or developed in centuries more than your shameless support for Israel. And believe me, you're alienating the whole planet by this. When you back colonialist Zionist violence against the Palestinians, everyone sees it as emblematic of your whole attitude to the non-Western world, to the non-white world. Everyone in the Global South identifies with the Palestinians. Everyone in the Muslim world identifies with the Palestinians. When you declare your support for total war against the Palestinians, when you declare your support for a psychopath like Netanyahu calling for basically a final solution against the Palestinians, well, everyone in the Global South gets the message. You are deranged, immoral, barbaric, bloodthirsty, racist savages. And all your talk about human rights and the rule of law and all of that is all just hideous hypocrisy. You don't mean any of it, and you never did.
Yep. See, that's exactly what I was saying in a very, probably a more polite way of saying it, but less direct. I've been saying that since the beginning. In my favorite three words, they don't care. And they never have, and they never will, about the American people. They don't. If they did, they would pledge allegiance to Americans, but they don't. They pledge allegiance to Israel. Why? Because America is just another colony, just like Canada. You know, we're just, you know, it's just like a chess game. Well, we'll just have to figure out what to do with these people. See, this is how Yuval Harari talks also. You listen to Yuval Harari speak from the WEF. Well, there's too much of us. You know, oh, no, I'm sorry. There's too much of you, he says.
Hey, Luca.
We don't know what to do with all of you. You know, we'll probably just have you play video games and, you know.
You know what that's called?
What's that? There he is.
I say, you know what that's called? That's called the nationalism fallacy or the tribalism fallacy.
Wow.
When people are told that their people are better than others. Or their bloodline is better than others, or whatever the case
is. I wish I would have remembered how I said that specifically on Facebook today. I said it's deranged. I used the word, what was it? Happily deranged, because he is. It's preconceived idiocy. The guy's a psychopath. He's a sociopath. He's a narcissist, full blown. I mean, to even, where's your humanity? Like, are these guys part AI to start with? Or, you know what I mean? It's fascinating to me. If you study these people, they end up being your best teachers, because that's where the world's going. That's what they want. That's where they're going. Don't we have that song? Where is it? Do I have the nerve to play it again? Well, it's such a nice song. Let's whistle it together, shall we? Right? Own nothing. Be happy. Own nothing. No, we don't have to play it. That's okay. But we're getting the message, right? And okay.
Eat
so,
the crickets, Luca.
I'm sorry. No. Eat the bugs.
Eat the bugs. Eat the crickets. Bugs.
No. Well, all this. If you compartmentalize, okay, you see that. Okay, so when was the first signs that you got, Luca, that that Israel controlled America's foreign policy. Oh, well, that was in 1967 with the USS Liberty. Remember, LBJ said, I want that GD boat on the bottom of the ocean, right? Okay. And he said, we can't embarrass Israel. LBJ was told, America doesn't handle their own foreign policy. No, Israel does. Why? Because Israel is the chaperone that Rothschild, et cetera, et al. Put in place. Ah, okay, so then America can arm Israel. Oh, then Israel becomes a terrorist state with the mostly incredibly, what, second best armed nation in the world, and it can fit in the size of New York State, something like that. I don't have that exact comparison under my nose, but something to that effect. it's a very, very well-planned strategy, but I think most of the world is catching on by now. Listen to this. According to a clip that I listened to very quickly, and I only listened to it once, the WEF says there's going to be a cyber attack before the end of 2024, right? Most people have heard that by now. How do they know that? Okay, Steve, help me out here. The WEF says there's going to be
because they're going to cause one. That's why.
Ah, infrastructure, banking, internet.
Well, that's just like in 1999. Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, and other neocons said we need a Pearl Harbor type event to get the people behind us.
Exactly. See, and I'm getting in trouble again on Facebook today because I see that Pearl Harbor Memorial. And what do I write? Oh, false flag. So that means that that the president then was responsible for the 2,700 and how many lives lost because they knew.
George Bush and Dick Cheney aren't really smart enough to do that kind of thing, but others are.
See, so one false flag after another, okay? Now we go to this where she calls out names like Cyber Polygon. Cyber Polygon is a WEF collaboration with Russia. Oh, and it's backed by U.S. agencies as well. Oh, didn't we accuse Russia of something a couple of years ago? Well, you know, this is what they're doing. They're collaborating with Russia now. Cyber Realm is another name, big banks and American intel agencies, and no coverage from the media, right? So nobody knows about it, of course. The collapse has to happen so that government is blameless. Of course, see, so U.S. intel agencies can now have the fingerprints of every other country that they want, you know, that the ones that they're going to hack themselves, false flags again. It could be Russia, Taiwan, or it could be Russia. It could be China, anyone we decide, and the people will buy it. And they're going to have regulated internet coming up. This is what it's all about. See, so how can you do that? Well, how about you collapse everything? And then as soon as it comes back on, all of a sudden, in order to get internet, now you're going to have your own, what is it? Your own user ID tied to your internet, right? And that's going to be, all your intel is going to be in there. And all your posting is going to be checked and monitored. See? So it's very easy. You create something. You have it all come down. Hello, Spudman. You have it all come down to zero. And then in order to, you know, hook up again, we've changed things now. Now you have to do this and now you have to do that. It's brilliant. See? And that's what she's saying. She's spilling the beans on this. As well as, other companies, you know, other huge interests like Israel Intel, British Intel, American Secret Service, FBI, Department of Justice, and the biggest banks in the U.S. like the Bank of America, they're all indirectly or directly involved, along with Microsoft and Amazon, and they're all partnered, okay? All the tools necessary to do all this, they have them already. See, so then now they can point the finger and go, Iran or China or whoever. And there's no evidence because the media won't cover it. It's brilliant. So this is how long it takes them to get everything together. And now they can do another false flag, blame it on whoever, come back and say, sorry, everything's changed. I think it's brilliant. We are coming up to a break very soon. So what I'm going to do is wait until – no, well, actually, we can go we can talk about a few other things before we go to the break. That's okay. When we come back, I'm going to talk about Time Magazine from 1938 and why. And I also want to speak about Gary Sinise and his foundation. And as you people know already in my disclaimer, I always say the same thing. It's not – I'm not saying this is true, what I'm saying. I'm saying that this is what resonates with me, as if you and I were walking on the beach and I picked something up on the beach and I said, wow, look at this. Look what I found. That's what I'm doing on my shows. I'm telling you, this is what I found. This is what resonates with me. What do you think? Run with it or tell me I'm full of it and, you know, disregard it completely. That's fine. So that's what I'm going to end up doing on every one of my shows. And I couldn't be a happier clam. I'm telling you, this is you guys have really made me feel at home. And I hope we're building up a family, as I said last week. I really hope we do. So we're going to come back in 1 minute and I'm going to wet my whistle.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Good grief. Time flies so fast. It's amazing. Time flies so fast when you're having fun. That's called Indian time. That's why they don't believe in time or to listen to the ticks of a clock or, you know, shut the phone off. You know, when you come in, shut your phone off, put it in the basket, and sit down. How do you like them apples? You want to talk about you want to talk discipline? Shut your phone off. I don't care. Shut your phone off. They'll cut you right off. I don't care. Or if you want to keep it on, turn around and walk back out. Shut your phone off, put it in the basket, and come and sit down and have a seat, and we'll talk. See? Nothing before that's done, okay? Thank you all for being here. Thank you all for encouraging me in this difficult time that we're in. But there are a couple of things I need to talk about. And it kind of rang an important bell this morning. Okay. So what does our government do to us if we help feed the homeless? Or if, if we invent a car that runs on water, or if we invent vitamin C under Rockefeller in the early 1900s, the guy that invented vitamin C was jailed. I think he had won a Pulitzer Prize or a prize in medicine for that. He had invented vitamin C and he was jailed by Rockefeller. Or if we encourage hemp use as a doctor to our patients, what's going to happen? The cherry tree, the Japanese cherry tree, was illegal to plant here in the U.S. They would send armed FDA raids into small community health food stores for selling Laetrile, B17, apricot seeds, okay? Or if someone, God forbid, would try to tell you the truth about anything, I can see an answer already in the chat. Yeah, they kill you. Okay. Well, let's continue a minute. What happens to those who want to help others, who help them build better lives for themselves, right? Then they destroy you. And if they can't do that, then they attack your credibility and ruin your reputation, propagandize against you, in your own personal circles. They're very good at what they do, and they know their stuff. Okay, so to me, this is like a scale, and this is where it gets important. It's like a scale, right? The more you're a good person, the more you want to emulate Jesus Christ or God, okay, the more you work at being a good person, the more they see you as a threat, right? I think that's pretty clear. So the better the person, the greater the threat. And this does make sense, because I'm finding out that the United States government literally told every American citizen to either turn in or destroy, and proof of it, kind of like they'd want to do with gun control today. You have to turn in every copy of Time Magazine's 1938 issue if you have it. And if you want to buy it, it's something like $999 somewhere on eBay. The one with Adolf Hitler as Man of the Year. Government was ordering this, and it was illegal to own it or to even view it without special privileges. Kind of like Hitler's diary. Hitler's what? Oh, I'm sorry, Hitler's library. Excuse me. And people go, what? His library. Yeah, his over 5,000 book library that nobody knows about, that's locked up in Washington, D.C. Only the privileged and only the special people can go in. It's kind of like the Vatican vaults, right? Like in that movie.
Well, they made Mein Kampf illegal to read in or to have in lots of countries.
And how many times have they changed it? How many times have they changed everything, edited everything, left parts out? It's crazy. You have to. I was talking to somebody about that. There must be a dozen versions of that, and you have to know your stuff in order to get to the original one. It's that hard. So I would like to give you a short list of why Time Magazine 1938 issue was against the law and still is. I'd like to give you a short list today. Starting in 1938, okay, and going backwards, 99.9% of all Austrians voted to join Germany. In 1938, Rothschild kicked out of Austria too, as well as Germany. Okay, Hitler beautified his country. He kicked out the crooked politicians. He kicked out the Rothschilds, and had several arrested. Hitler issues a new debt-free money system, and Germany and Austria flourish instantly because of that. He cleaned up the rat and rodent infestations that were plaguing Germany at the time, causing real pandemics, not fake ones like you see today. Universal health care for all people, educating all children, regardless of race, which is essentially eliminating social classes. Okay? German society would learn again the value of work, of physical labor, and hold it in high esteem. It's polar opposite of what we're living today, if you don't mind me saying so. Hitler builds highways the length and the breadth of his country. He refuses to depend on foreign aid or foreign products made outside of Germany, and even focuses on independence from other countries because he wants Germany to flourish by itself. Exactly the opposite that we're doing. Listen to this. Women now have the right to vote. Women can now work under this new party, under this new leadership. Women can now own property without a man, because before then it wasn't allowed. Under Rothschild usury and laws in Germany, women could not even work. They couldn't own property, per se. They would lose everything if their husband died. Germany becomes a world class again, like it was before. You know, two world wars later, we're trying to destroy it and we're not able to. Germany becomes world class again in airships, in stadiums, in engineering, in science, and in medicine, and in other ones as well, in other areas as well. That, you know, this is the short list. Germans become wealthy again for, you know, all of a sudden, because they don't have to pay interest to a private run central bank. The new economic system allows German workers to reap what they sow, literally. German workers experience the best working conditions in Europe and are given government-backed holidays. Listen to this. While the rest of Europe, permanently enslaved to the debt money system, suffer with huge levels of unemployment. In 1936, Hitler's approval rating is 99%. Germany experiences the first true economic freedom from the bankers. This is why there was war. With Rothschild gone, Austria's economy flourishes instantly as well. Germans love Hitler because Hitler put them first and stood up to the bankers and kicked them out. The Rothschilds now hate Hitler, of course, because Germany's economy is free and out of the grasp of their debt slave or debt usury. Debt slavery system. And if you pay attention to what Churchill said, that ties in directly with Churchill. Churchill has a quote that says that Hitler's unforgivable crime was to invent a money system that the Rothschilds themselves, the bankers, could not profit from. Now it's starting to make more sense. Okay? Now it really is starting to make more sense. So there's only one option left for the Rothschild to stop this new economic system. Blow them out of the water. And it took two world wars to do it. I had to share that with you because, you know, it didn't really fall into place until my best friend sat in my living room across from me and said, Luca, that 1938 edition of Time magazine, you weren't allowed to have that. That's why. I kind of joked at him. I thought it was because of, you know, the United States praising what was going on. You know, you had German airships with the swastika flying around Philadelphia at the time. In the world fairs, Germany was winning every time. In the world fairs, Germany was showing everybody how little they knew. Germany was always first place, showing everybody off. Something had to be done. This is since 1901 from the first World Fair, if you follow that. It's fascinating stuff. No, I'm not, as they call, a Hitler lover or a Holocaust denier or anything like that anybody ridiculous enough to want to accuse somebody would use for words. This is the truth coming out. And, you know, Jesus Christ said it himself too. You know, the truth will come out. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It will come out. And this is one of the most important truths that I have lived to tell because, first of all, I couldn't tell it before. And second of all, it hits home. It hits home like nothing else. It really does. So I'm going to play my little mix to change subjects, which I love doing. And thank you so much for listening, and thanks for still being there. We're going to be right back, and I got to wet my whistle again. Oh yeah, and we said a happy birthday to Annie too, didn't we? I think we did. I got to say it again. You just said thank you for saying it. I got to say it again. And I said it. I said it to her on the phone, like, you know, happy birthday to you. Every day, happy birthday. Right. I did it all. I had to. You know, things are getting very scary. And thank you again for letting me get that out. Now I feel better. You know, this is like a rant, and I'm going to get very good at being very precise. Because when I was young, I would exaggerate. My sister would always say, Luca, you're exaggerating. Okay. You know, so you have to think about what you say. You have to be really careful when you're online. But see, this is what I mean. I'm literally talking to you like we're in a talking circle. Like I just picked something up on the ground, right? I thought that was so cool when I thought of that. You know, we're all walking on the beach together if it's possible, right? I pick something up. Hey, look at this. Somebody will have knowledge on it. Somebody will say, yeah, that's a fossil. Somebody will go, yeah, I know what that is. You know, we talk about it. And it's important to celebrate each other. Okay. And this is going to be kind of where I want to go with this segment, because I have a couple of memes that I love and that I want to share with you today. And you know what? Going back to the last segment very quickly, I might add, because I forgot this one. You see a picture of, okay, now don't get upset in the chat, okay? Just hear me out. You see a picture of Obama and Baby Bush and Bill Clinton together, okay? You know what the meme says? And Steve is looking at it right now. It says, during 23 years, these three people invaded under whose orders, right? They invaded 9 Islamic countries. They murdered 11 million Muslims. And nobody called them terrorists.
They displaced about that many also.
I'm sorry?
They displaced about that many also.
Can you imagine?
Or more.
See, it's either we're cowards as Americans or we're just putting our head in the sand. Like, oh, the less I know, the more.
It's brainwashed. They're brainwashed people.
Well, okay. So, Steve, this is where I wanted to go. Thank you for segueing me. Okay, so you're going through Facebook, right? The Gary Sinise Foundation. Okay, sure. I'll try that on for size. Okay. Gary Sinise is working with the couples, kind of like Wounded Warrior Project or the one that I was with, Tunnel to Towers, for a long time, Tunnel to Towers Foundation, helping the families recover or, you know, make it through the problems that they had when their man left or the first responders died or world wars. Okay. This is more aimed towards, first responders of 9/11. And I'm going, there he is in an airplane full of people celebrating. Okay. And he is helping out people. Of course he is. This is not a judgment call. This is an observation. But how can that many people not know the truth about 9/11? And if people did, like him, Gary Sinise, are they faking it? It's either one or the other. You can't play the fence no more. Either you know and you're guilty and complicit of the crime, or you don't know and you should be told, right? Okay, so everybody, 20 years later, they should know, or 20 plus years later. You know what my buddy says, sitting across the room from me? He says, Luca, they don't care. Just like Stephen just said, Luca, they're brainwashed. He said, in that tone of voice, Luca, they don't care. Oh, okay, so our kids are going to learn to hate Muslims on the Ground Zero Memorial, and Israel builds the 9-11. You know, Israel is responsible, Luca, for 9-11, and then Israel builds the memorial for 9-11 victims.
Luca?
Yes.
You go back to John D. Rockefeller says that he doesn't want masses to be smart enough to come after them, to figure out what the truth is. He just wants them smart enough to push the buttons and run the machinery.
I don't want a nation of thinkers. I want a nation of workers.
Yes. Just smart enough to punch the buttons.
Operate the machinery. Exactly.
File right. The papers.
You know what?
And
that
file the
is
papers.
The Native American experience. I kid you not. Okay, nobody can tell me I'm wrong, because that's genocide right there. But I'm not talking about genocide today. This, we're talking about what the church and state did. Church says, government, give me a hand in controlling these savages. Government says to the church, do what you want with them, educate them, do what you have to do, put them in schools. You know, they only were supposed to be learning their place in the world under the white man's foot, so to speak. Okay. I don't want to sound like a bigot here, even though I was accused of being a bigot on Facebook when I was talking about Killers of a Flower Moon, sadly, but that's because the person doesn't know me. That's okay. You know, so it's the same education system. That's all we're supposed to know. We're supposed to just do everything. Carbon copies, right? We're going right on that escalator or whatever it's called, going to the meat grinder, as in the movie The Wall. Okay? It's really upsetting. So let's dive in. You're getting me all going again. So they don't want us to think, right? They don't want us to become. They don't. That's how I started the segment before. They don't want us to go inside. They don't want us to learn to be a better person. They don't want us off drugs. They don't want us off boxed food. They don't want us, you know. So I'm doing all of that, and I'm going, whoa. And everything starts to fall into place. No matter what you do, you end up living a better life. Oh, even right down to the pets that we have. And this is going to introduce some of the best memes I've ever seen. And I want to share them with you because it's just anchoring my feeling of who I am and showing you who I am, more importantly. Okay. In Hawaii, you don't call yourself a pet's owner. You're their kahu, K-A-H-U. Kahu has many meanings, among them guardian, protector, steward, beloved attendant. Basically, somebody entrusted with the safekeeping of something precious, something cherished. What a kahu protects, it's not their property. It's what they protect it as part of their soul. Isn't that beautiful? I want to say this again. I was born with a soul that is way too sensitive for this cold and ugly world. And I've always felt things deeply and differently than most people. That has always been my blessing and my curse. I should say that with my disclaimer every week. I probably could. It's really a problem. And you know what? It's thanks to everybody. It's thanks to everybody. And thank you for being honest, Steve. That's nice of you to say that. It scares the death out of me when I go on the mic because I feel like I'm scared. You know, of course you're scared. Do it anyway, right? Be underqualified and get in the room anyway. I could say this every week. Be honest. Show your imperfections. Be prepared for mistakes.
That's because that's because the truth is a hard pill to swallow and most people don't want to hear it.
No. And Steve is going to be the first one anyway to correct me if I make a mistake. He won't mind. Luca, you know? You know what I mean? I'm prepared for making mistakes and I'm pretty much sure of myself enough to be able to go, okay, I'm comfortable with what I'm going to talk about. Be unsure and show up anyway. And if you have faith, you're going to fly, baby. You're literally going to fly. How many times have I started this show and I don't even know where I'm going? And Steve's sitting there laughing, right? Okay, next slide, please. I love saying that. The reason people are awakening, it's because they finally stopped agreeing to things that insult their soul. That's a pretty powerful one. Okay? And some memes are going to come back. Yeah, you might hear them two times, three times. That'll happen. But that's because they mean so much to me. See, a part of my healing, and I'm going to kind of go a little bit everywhere right now because we're coming to the end of the show and I want to express myself about inner work that I'm doing. The emotional energy that you carry when you're preparing a meal, you're angry with your beloved, whatever, and you're yelling and screaming and you're just cursing and you're mixing the soup at the same time. You know what's going in that soup? Let me tell you what's going in that soup, okay? And I'm sure children know better than adults what's going in that soup. When I was healing, when I was able to get up and start healing and start cooking myself, I would hold on to the stove and literally make my own actually that was tea with Essiac tea, and I would literally smudge with the smoke, with the boiling, with the vapor, or, you know, and my head was in that cloud, passing it over me, asking for healing, thanking the food. See, so back to the meme, it says the emotional energy you carry when preparing a meal transfers directly into the food. That is why it's very important never to make a meal when you're in a bad mood or when you're fighting with your cherished one, right? This energy transfer can either heal somebody or slowly poison them. Choose wisely. See, because we're all coming from the same place. The food we're eating is coming from the same planet that we live on, that we walk on every day. They're talking about grounding. Luca, all you have to do is take off your shoes and your socks. And that's something else, see? They don't want us grounding either. So why do they make us with plastic soles? Cuts off the energy transfer from the earth. Uh-huh. Interesting, right? Oh, yeah. Everything. There's no coincidences at all. It doesn't even exist. The word does not exist. We talked about the map of consciousness with numbers and the 3D, the 3D body, the 4D mind, and the 5D literal soul, okay? The 3D body goes from zero, which is death, to about 175 or 200, which is pride, okay? The 4D mind starts at 200, and it goes from courage to logic and reason, which is 400. It's linear. It's truth. The 5D soul. Incredible. The nonlinear. It goes from 500, which is love, to 700 or plus, which is enlightenment. You know, 1,000 is God enlightenment. It's, you know, well, top of the hat to people who, tip of the hat to people who've been there. but, you know, think of where you are on a scale of zero. Well, obviously not zero, but, you know, shame is 20. Guilt is 30. It's interesting. Desire is 125, probably physical desire more than anything. See, acceptance is 350. Joy is 540. You know, interesting stuff. So acceptance of other people is 350. I just said that. Okay. So I'm just looking at that now. And Steve even touched on it too. Why do they just want us to know our place and just be carbon copies of workers? Well, tell them they only have five senses, okay? Touch, smell, taste, hearing, and sight, okay? Right. You know what? Somebody says it's more like nine with deja vu, with intuition, with memory dreams, and gut feeling added to that. You don't pay enough attention to that. Well, I would go a lot further because what they don't want us is the following. Listen to this one. They don't want us to go here. Check this out. ESP, extrasensory perception, is the psychic supernatural ability to perceive the invisible energetic world, right? It goes beyond the five senses, five physical senses in this meme here, and is known as the sixth sense. And it's responsible for intuition, telepathy, precognition, retrocognition, clairvoyance, and remote viewing. Oh boy. Right? Wow. See, so, and then they put us in a place where they're making it impossible for us to evolve spiritually, or almost impossible because some of us are doing it. They turn us against each other, it's to distract us from going against them, from turning against them and organizing, right? I got to hand it to Suspicious Observers today. I was listening to Suspicious Observers on YouTube because I like watching what's going on the sun and the planets and stuff. And on Suspicious Observers, the guys, you'd think he'd be talking about the sun and about, you know, the coronal holes and the ejections and the CMEs. And he's really talking very technical stuff, right? All of a sudden he comes out. You know what he says? This is a quote from him. The culture of us humans today makes the entire world seem like one Sodom and Gomorrah. The rise of satanic degeneracy and the loss of traditional moral values. Isn't that funny? We were talking about traditional moral values when I was talking about Germany earlier. The culture of us humans today makes the entire world seem like one Sodom and Gomorrah. The rise of satanic degeneracy and the loss of traditional moral values. That's So well said. It's spot on. Yeah, we sure are, aren't we, Annie? Well, you know, it's our choice, right? See, and we're not part of this world. We're in this world. We're not part of it. Remember what he said, capital H, right? You can be a part of your own world. You can make your own world up. And as soon as you open the door, you're in the other world. You're not a part of it. You're not part of the dirt. No. I'm working on myself. I'm working on becoming a better person, and I have you to help me do that. And you know what you're actually helping me do? Thank you so much, guys, for saying it's a great show. I'm not done yet. They're trying to kick me out. No, just kidding. You guys are literally helping me put my what in order? How do they say that in English? Your ducks in order. Okay. Because in French, they use, you know, about bowling. I forget how they say that. But you're helping me, showing me what's interesting to me, what's the most important thing to share with you, and what I've already said. So sorry if I do repeat myself, but that shows that, you know, somebody's honest. So thank you so much, everybody. And this is when Steve gets really quiet, so I don't know if he's even there yet. Okay, you still are there, right, Steve?
I'm still here.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to say thank you to you and to everybody responsible for Shake and Wake Radio. And do us a favor, hit the donate button if you can, and throw like $5 a month donating, $5 a month reoccurring. That way, Annie knows how much she's getting, and she can keep the station alive, because that's what we really need. We really need audience participation at this point, and it'll really help her out tremendously. And it'll help me out, too, because I got a really good venue here. We're giving as much as we can. Thank you so much, everybody. And we'll talk again. And I'll leave you with that new song that's becoming a part of my show more and more. Love you guys and girls. See you next week.